Today's Shir is Masechta Sota Daf Chavav. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chav Hei Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. At the end of our previous Shir, Rav Nachman had taught us that everyone agrees that a woman who's an islandess, is not a candidate to drink the Mayim Hamorim. We begin our Shir Meisvei by quoting a lengthy brisa. May say, Hamakana l'arusa. So the brisa teaches us, if somebody does kinui on his arusa, a woman that had erisin and not nesuin, or l'shemeris yavam shaloi, or he did kinui on the woman who is only a shemeris yavam, im at shaloi konsa nistara, if before they did nesuin, she had stira, such a woman like Shaisa will not be a candidate to drink the Mayim Hamorim. Furthermore, v'loy nightless ksuba, even though she didn't drink, and since she didn't drink, we should maybe say that she's entitled to a ksuba, teaches us the brisa that she doesn't get a ksuba, even though she didn't drink the Mayim Hamorim, as we discussed in the previous shiurim. There's a reglaim ladover that she has been unfaithful. So continues the brayson. Uberes chaveroi, umenekes chaveroi, loishoyses loy nachlus ksuba. These women as well don't drink, and neither do they get a ksuba if they had kinu stira. Diver Rameya. And the opinion of Rameya is Rameya Oimra loyoyes adam uberes chaveroi umenekes chaveroi, as one is not allowed to marry a woman who is a muberes chaveroi umenekes chaveroi v'mnasa. And if he does marry such a woman, yoitzi, he has to divorce her, v'loyach so'ilomis, and they may never get married again. They may not get remarried. So since Rameya holds that this is a woman who's totally not qualified to be married to him, therefore such a woman is not a candidate to drink. V'cham ma'imrim, yoitzi, v'cham says, indeed, while they're in the category of muberes chaverim, nekes chaveroi, the halacha is that you may not marry such a woman. However, after the 24 months pass, after the child was born, that you are allowed to marry this woman, yigiyas manoi, after 24 months, lichnois, you may marry her. So since these are women that you will be allowed to be married to, so that's why they're allowed to drink the Mayim Hamarim. Continues the brisa, faroiva, if you have a single man who married an akara zakena, then like isha bonim mikara, and he doesn't have a wife and children before he did kinui, so he should not have married this woman, because obviously a man is supposed to marry a woman who could bear children, and he doesn't have children, so since this marriage should not have taken place, leshaisa, she doesn't drink. However, it's obvious that the opinion here is that if he already has children or he has a wife who's able to have children, then she would drink. Even if he doesn't have a wife or doesn't have children, he still can always be married, get married to another woman, or liferous menu, and have children with that other woman. And since he could have children with that other woman, that's why this wife is considered a 100% regular wife, and therefore, if there was kinui, she is a candidate to drink the Mayim Hamorim. Avol hamakana l'rusasoi, if somebody did kinui on his arusa, or somebody did kinui on l'shemeres yavam shalah, and then mishenichnasa, only after nesuin took place, nistra, did stira take place, oy shaisa, either she'll drink like any other wife does when she has kinui stira, or if she refuses to drink, as we've been learning throughout our masechta, like nightless ksuba, she's not entitled to the ksuba, because by refusing to drink, she is sort of admitting that she did this, and since she's admitting that she did this, she's not entitled to a ksuba. If somebody did kinui on a wife who's pregnant from his child, or had his child and is still nursing, Ay Shaisa, she drinks immediately, and we don't wait that till the time that she that the baby is born, if she's a Muberis, or we don't wait until she finishes nursing, even though by doing so, what's going to happen is if she is indeed guilty, she will die, and that will obviously affect the child who was born that won't have a mother to nurse them, or if she's pregnant, if she dies, obviously the fetus that she's carrying will pass away. Or if she refuses to drink, as we just discussed, like Nitlus Ksuba, she won't get a Ksuba. Haroiva Shanasa Karva Zakena, if a single boy married, if a single man married a Karva Zakena, Yeshla Isha Bonim, and he has a family, since he already has a family, he was allowed to marry that Karva Zakena. Oy Shaisa, so she is a wife that drinks. Oy, and if she refused to drink, then they terminate the marriage for a Noitless Ksuba. The Braisa doesn't discuss if there were children before the Kinui, and then at the time of the Kinui, they're allowed to be married, or even the children were born only after the Kinui. What is the halacha? Let's understand this. On one hand, the baby was born after the Kinui. Since the baby was born after the Kinui, and during the time of Stira, she had children. So since she had children at that time, they're allowed to be married. Or on the other hand, we can make a counter argument. At the time of the Kinui, they shouldn't have been married, and that's why it shouldn't be effective. Continues the Braisa, Eishes Mamzer LaMamzer. If a woman who is a wife of a Mamzer, who's allowed to marry a Mamzer, the halacha, as we learned, is a Geyoris or a Mamzeres is allowed to marry a Mamzer, or Eishes Nosin, the halacha is there are women that are allowed to marry a Nosin, Veishes Ger, or the wife of a Ger, Ve'evid Meshuchar, the wife of a freed slave, the islandess and an islandess, oy shaisa, either will drink, or if they refuse to drink, like Noitos Ksuba, they're not allowed to drink. The Tosis points out, why is the islandess put together with the Mamzera and the Nosson? Why isn't the islandess is a woman of perfect yichus? So she belongs together in the same group as a Kara and Zakena, not together with these women. So the Sefer Divrei Shaul says that the reason they're put into the same category, then if we're speaking about that Kara Zakena that we just spoke about, are women, the Kara Zakena who are married to a man who already has children, then the halacha is that the islandess at this point of the Gemara's understanding should certainly be a candidate to drink. And therefore, it was separated out. But Ketani Mia, but what does it say here? That an islandess does drink. So why, how does Rav Nachman say that the islandess doesn't drink? Amalach Rav Nachman, responds Rav Nachman, Tanoihi, this discussion about an islandess is actually a machloikus tanoim, but not the Amrika Haitana, and my opinion is consistent with the Tana that holds like Rabbi Lazar, that holds that you're allowed to marry an islandess, but even though you're allowed to marry an islandess, under all circumstances, an islandess is not a woman who will be allowed to, who is a candidate to drink the Mayim Amarim. The Tanya, as the Gemara teaches us a Braisa, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer islandess, where we speak about an islandess, the halacha is islandess loishaisa doesn't drink loinatos ksuba, but won't get ksuba either. Shenemar, because the pasuk says regarding the effect of the mayim hamorim, the nixar of a nizra zera, that after if she's innocent, she'll be able to have children. So says the Gemara, says Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Misha Dak Lazria, a woman who could have children is a woman who drinks the Mayim HaMamorim. Yotzezu, when we speak about an illness, Shein Dak Lazria, she can't have children, and therefore doesn't drink. And not so it turns out that not because you are allowed to marry her or not allowed to marry her, that rather the reason is because she's a woman who is impossible for her to have children, that's why she doesn't drink. The Rabbanon, who say that an illness does drink, Hive and Nixa as a Zerb my Avdalay. So now ask the Gemara, what will the Rabbanon who disagree, and they hold that every woman that an illness does drink, but what, and they're not concerned about the nixer zera, what will they do with this pasuk? Answers the Gemara Mibayla L'Chatanya. They use it to teach the following halacha. The pasuk says, as we just read, what happens if the soita turns out to be innocent? Says the Torah, v'nixer v'nizra zera, and we learn from here Shemhaisa of Kara, that if till now she was an akara, nifgeda, she'll have children. Divrei Rabbi Kiva. Amalai, Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel says to Rabbi Kiva, im kain, if that is what happens, that a woman who's truly innocent, but if she drinks the mayim ha-maharim and she's innocent, she'll have children. So we have, unfortunately, women who are akaras. So what the akaras shall do is they'll go through this procedure to be able, they'll get themselves accused, and they'll have children. You saw through kol akaras. They'll go through the procedure of having kin v'stira, and like that, v'yipaktu, v'zu, and the akara who doesn't want to act in such an immoral fashion, hoyel v'nistra v'sida, then it'll turn out that she who didn't want to act this way loses out. So that isn't proper, says Rabbi Shmuel. Because somebody wants to do the right thing, they should end up losing. So, says Rabbi Shmuel, the definition of a nix of a nizer zera is here to teach us something else. Im came out time alone of a nix of a nizer zera. What does it come to teach us? Shem hoisu yeledes bitzar. If till now she was having children and it wasn't coming easy, the labor, the pregnancy, now yeledes berevach. That won't happen. The kavis, if till now she had girls, now she'll have Yeled Sacharim, she'll have boys. If till now the children she had were Tzarim, were very short, Yeled Saruchim, they'll be proper height. Shchayrim, if they didn't have a good complexion, Yeled Slavonim, they'll have the proper complexion. So I sort of Mefarshim ask that what the Rabbi Shmuel saying that women, if you Rabbi Kiva are right, women will do this in order to have children. So he asks, what's wrong with women trying to have children? Isn't that what is expected, that every woman is going to do what she can to have children? So the Moritz Chayes answers. He says, we've found in our Gemara so many times in our Masechta already that when a woman is brought and is accused of having done the wrong thing, and we're going to start the procedure, we tell her, you should be concerned that you are causing Hashem's name to be erased. And that's part of what the Rabbi Shmuel means to say, says the Moritz Chayes. A woman absolutely is going to do whatever she can to have children. But we're finding that we're so concerned not to erase Hashem's name. Why is that not a concern to you, Rabbi Kiva? The Sefer Shaul Emes says that what the Gemara says means to say that we have to be concerned that that the Torah, what the Rabbi Shmuel means to say, he finds it inconceivable that the Torah should tell a woman who wants to have children and is doing whatever she can to have children, to use this type of a methodology of acting in an immoral fashion as a way to have children. So Tosfos asked the obvious question. Tosfos says Rabbi Shmuel is dissatisfied with Rabbi Kiva's approach, because according to Rabbi Kiva's approach, women will act this way in order to have children. So Taisa says, Sarajah Bishmal say, Bishmal says, what the Pasuk means says that women were having difficulties with labor, with the children that they were having, now won't have those difficulties. So Taisus asks, according to Rabbi Shmuel, why are we concerned that a woman who's been having difficult pregnancies or the other examples will act this way in order to have easy labor, to have good children? So Taisus Rush answers that there's only that much you're going to do for certain purposes. So a woman who never has no children, as we just discussed, will go to great lengths to have children, even doing something which is highly inappropriate. But a woman who's having a difficult childbirth, or women who are having children who aren't as perfect as they want, that woman is not going to go to act this way in order to have children. Another terrorist that I saw, the Tzlach, suggests, he says that we know the halacha is that a woman who's married for 10 years and doesn't have children, they get divorced. We've learned that halacha previously. So this woman knows that the clock is ticking. And if she doesn't have children, she's going to end up with a divorce. That's why she'll take extreme measures. However, a woman who knows her marriage is intact won't take these kind of extreme measures just to have children without labor pains, or etc. The Gemara Masechta Brachos, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, teaches us how Chana was a woman who unfortunately did not have children. And the Gemara tells us how Chana was so upset, and Chana came to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan, and was mispalel. And the Pasuk says, and so many halachas are learned from the tefillah of Chana. And Chana said, Amroa Tira, a double lashon, Amroa Tira. And what she said to Hashem, Imroa, if you will see that I have no children and have rachmanis on me, fantastic. Tira, what she meant to say, says the Gemara, if I won't be granted my tefillah to have children, what I'll do is I'll have kini v'stira, and therefore I'll be brought to Besdin, and I'll drink the mayim amarim. So the Mefarshim ask, how could have Chana, so to speak, threatened HaKadosh Baruch Hu that way? And as Chassam Sofer explains the question, Chassam Sofer says that in order to become a Saita, you have to have yichud. You have to be alone with the man who you're being accused of. How is it permitted for a woman to violate this yichud just to have children? So the Chassam Sofer answers that the halachas of yichud and the halachas of what is yichud and the halacha what it constitutes a kinui are not really identical. There are a number of heterim for yichud that still would qualify that this woman was involved in being alone with a man. He explains, for example, one of the heterim of yichud is baal beir, if the husband is in the city. Says the Chassam Sofer, a woman who's baal beir did not violate yichud, but even though she didn't violate yichud, she is still considered that she was alone with a man. Another example the Chassam Sofer gives is that if you were alone with a man in a place that had a door open to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, halachically that's not a violation of yichud. But even though it's not considered a violation of yichud, it is considered stira. But then I saw that the Yavetz asks another question. We know that the Pasuk says, V'yisim nekiyim Mashem Yisrael. The halacha is that a person has to act in a way that is nekiyim Hashem Yisrael, that Hashem knows you didn't do the wrong thing, but you shouldn't act in a way that people may come to accuse you of acting in an inappropriate fashion. So the question here is, The Gemara just says that this woman, who unfortunately doesn't have children, is going to have kinu yistira in order that she should drink the mayim amarim, and by drinking the mayim amarim, that's how I have children. But she violated the concept of a yisim nekiim v'shem Yisrael. So the Yavit says that she already is punished for that. The fact that she goes through a kinu v'stira is the biggest punishment, and the drinking the mayim amarim, as we learned earlier in Amasechta, what an embarrassing situation it is. So that's her punishment for that, and then she could have children. Another pshat that the Chasam Sofer offers, the Chasam Sofer says that even though the halacha is the yisim nekiim Hashem Yisrael, and a person has to be careful not to do anything that people will cause that they should accuse him that he's doing something wrong. But if you know at the end of the day that accusation will fall away, then you don't have to worry. So says the Chasam Sofer, this woman knows she's innocent. And this woman knows that she's going to drink the Mayim Amarim, and they will prove her innocence. And at that point, all the people that thought that she did something wrong will have been proven wrong. And therefore, since it's only a temporary time, it's only a temporary window of time where people are accusing her that she did the wrong thing, that isn't a violation of Yisim Nekiim, Yisim Nekiim. The Shemesh Shmuel explains, what is the pshat, he explains, that a woman who drinks the Mayim Amarim and is innocent has this bracha, whether Rabbi Akiva shall have children, whether according to Rabbi Shmuel, where he explained, what does that mean? So he explains that at the end of the day, what are the Mayim Amarim? The Mayim Amarim have incredible kedusha. They have the water of the Kiyah, they have the Shem Hashem and the Psukim of the Torah. And anyone who connects himself to kedusha becomes blessed. And therefore, since such a person becomes blessed, that's why says the Shemesh Shmuel, she gets this bracha. The Gemara in Masechet Ma'akotin, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, says the pasuk says in Tehillim, V'yikanu l'Moshe b'machna, that everybody did kinu with their wife with Moshe Rabbeinu, and everybody accused Moshe Rabbeinu that they had, that his wife had relations with them. That's why he says, the Mireish explains, that was what the Benoi Salofchot said. The Benoi Salofchot said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Avinu lo hayu, a father wasn't between the people who accused you that you had improper relations with their wives. What was the proof, says the Mireish, that the Benoi Salofchot were able to say? So says the Mireish. Al Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel just said that a woman who drank the Mayim Marim will now have boys. The Benoi Salofchot said to Moshe Rabbeinu, our father only had girls. If our father had been one of the people who had accused his wife of having relations with Moshe Rabbeinu and gone through the Soita procedure and then been innocent, he should have had boys. The fact that they didn't have boys, that's why it's a proof that he wasn't from those Rishonim. I saw that the Sefer Divrei Musar explains, again, he too is troubled why a person who does such an Avera is, at the end of the day, rewarded. Because he says, let's think about it. There was Kinu Vestira. So if there was Kinu Vestira, obviously they didn't act in an appropriate manner. And yet the Pasuk, as we're learning now, whether it's Rabbi Kiva's interpretation or whether it's Rabbi Shmuel's interpretation, says that they get a bracha. Why is such people worthy of a bracha? So he says a very interesting pshat. He says that's exactly what the Gemara means to say. Let's think about this situation. We have here a situation where a woman was alone with a man. And when a woman is alone with a man, there certainly is the possibility that they're going to do the wrong thing. The Yetzer Hara certainly is enticing them to do the wrong thing. But even though they were enticed to do the wrong thing, they were still strong, and they didn't do the wrong thing. The person, people like the Saita and the man who were in such a situation and overcame the Yetzer Hara not to do the wrong thing, are people who are worthy of a bracha. We learned in the Braisa, Eishes Mamzer LaMamzer, if a woman who was allowed to marry a Mamzer married a Mamzer, she is a woman that will drink, and if she refuses to drink, she loses a ksuba. Ask the Gemara, why would we think differently? Why she's allowed to be married to her husband, and any woman who's married to a husband should be a candidate, should be a person that's subject to the halachas of a saita. Answers the Gemara, Mada Tema, Apushe Psulim Leipush. We don't want to promote this marriage because the child, a mamzerim, is a mamzer. And therefore, we should want maybe to force them to get divorced and not create more mamzerim. Kamash Malon, that isn't a consideration. We also learned in the Braisa, Eishes Ger Ve'Evim Meshukhar Ve'Eilonis. Pshita, why should an Eishes Ger not drink? Answers the Gemara Madutema. We might have thought the Pasuk that introduces the parasha of Saita says Daba B'nei Yisrael, and maybe Pshat in the Pasuk is V'loi Gerim, the Gerim are excluded from the parasha of Saita. Kamash Malon, that isn't that way. Ask the Mabit, maybe. Ve'im HaChanami, maybe that is what we should learn from Daba B'nei Yisrael. Answers the Gemara B'marta, Rebu Yehu is coming to teach us that even the ger drinks. Eishes Kohen Shaisa, we learned that the wife of a Kohen Shaisa. Pshita, why would we exclude the wife of a Kohen? That's what we learned in the Mishnah. Answers the Gemara Madutema, we might have thought that the Pasuk says that what was the story with this woman? Vilhila in the Sposa, it wasn't where she was violated. That's when, and that's why, if she had a voluntary relation with this man, a sora, hanispasa, and that's why she's not allowed to live with her husband. Hanispasa, if she was violated, then the halacha is that mutaris, she is allowed to live, continue being with her husband. The zoo, but we know that the halacha is that an eishes kain, even if she was violated against her will, hoil v'nispasa, even if she was violated against her will, a sura. So maybe we'd think Emulei Tishta, maybe indeed that she should not be a candidate for being a Saita, Kamash Malon, that she is. So the Rishonim Tosfos asks the question, why doesn't the Gemara ask, as it did just a moment ago, that maybe Taka, maybe we should say that a woman who is a Eishes Kohen, because this pasuk that we just read, which is part of the parasha Saita, doesn't apply to her, maybe that means to say that the whole pasuk doesn't come to say that. Says Tosfos, we don't normally explain a pasuk that it's coming to exclude somebody unless we have good reason to think so. And there's no reason to really think so, and that's why we don't necessarily connect the halacha of being violated to the halacha of Saita. We learned that Eishes Kohen drinks the Muteras Labala. Pshita, if she's innocent, she's back. Answers the Gemara Amar Rav Huna b'Misnavna. The woman who, after she drank, is deteriorating. And therefore, since she's deteriorating, shouldn't that be an indication that she did something wrong? Kamash Malon, that she's still allowed to live with the husband. But ask the Gemara, if she's misnavna, if she's deteriorating, habat kuamayim, isn't that a proof that she did the wrong thing? Why is she deteriorating? Answers the Gemara, b'misnavna derech evarim. She's not deteriorating the way the mayim hamamorim, as the Torah success, should happen. And therefore, if she's not deteriorating in the way the Torah says the mayim hamamorim work, that isn't an indication that she did something wrong. Matatema, because we could say that she did the wrong thing. If she did the wrong thing, why isn't the Mayim HaMa'arim deteriorating her in the way Mayim HaMa'arim normally do? The reason the Mayim HaMa'arim aren't working in the way they normally do is because it was through a rape, and therefore, since she was not deliberate, that's why the Mayim HaMa'arim don't work the normal way. Since Ulagaba Koina Sira, but she still can't go back to her husband, as we just learned, the wife of a Koin who was violated is prohibited to her husband. Kamash Malon, that no. The Mayim HaMa'arim only work if she did it willingly. And if she did it willingly, even if she has a schus, she's Misnavna. She will deteriorate. But she will deteriorate in the normal fashion of deterioration. And this woman, since she's not deteriorating that way, it's an indication that she's innocent, and therefore, since it's an indication that she's innocent, she's allowed to go back to her husband. We learned in the Mishnah, Eishes Saras, the wife of an impotent man, a sterile man, Shoyse Pshita. Of course, so Rashi says that the man that we're speaking about in our Gemara is a Sris Chama, that from when he was born, he was unable to have children. And such an individual, as we learned in Masechta Yevamos, a Sris Chama is allowed to marry a Jewish woman. Someone who unfortunately is a Sris Adam, that was born healthy and then became a Saris, is not allowed to, one may not marry such a person. As the Pasuk says, Lo Yava B'tzu Daka Krus Shivcha B'Kal Hashem. So since they're not allowed to be married, so such a couple, the wife doesn't become a Saita. The Meiri comes up with a way how it could be speaking about a Sris Adam, because as we learned, the halacha is that a Sris Adam is allowed to marry a Giyoris. So we'll explain that it's speaking about such a situation. Says the Gemara Pshita, so as we just learned, if it's a Saris who's allowed to be married, so of course his wife can become a Saita. What the Mishnah teaching us? Marataima answers the Gemara. The Pasuk says, "V'yiten ishbach eshach choftoi mebaladesh ishach amrachmana." That somebody else had relations with you other than your husband. However, v'hola bar hachahu, this man is a person who can't have relations, and therefore, since he can't have relations, that when the Pasuk excludes such a couple, kamash malon, that the Mishnah is teaching us that that's not what the Pasuk means to say. And even though he can't have relations, since he did have relations, just the way many Rishonim explain, before he became a Saris, and then they were able to have relations, that's why they're allowed to, she's considered a wife that could become a Saita. Al Yidei Kol Arayis Mekanim, says the Gemara Pshita. Why did the Mishnah have to teach us that if the husband warned his wife not to be with a person that she's not allowed to marry because he's an erva, that it should be different? Says the Gemara Madatema, Nitma Nitma Shnei Pamim. The Torah says the word Nitma twice. One Echel Baal Vechel Baal. As we're going to be learning that if once she becomes a Saita, she's not allowed to have relations with her husband, nor may she have relations with the accused man. So, says the Gemara, Heich de Kamitzer Baznos, where they become prohibited to each other, where she becomes prohibited to the Baal because of this act, that's when the Parash Saita kicks in. Aval ha, hoil v'sur v'kaima, this woman, the person that she's being accused of, anyway can't marry him because he's an ervet. They're ervet to each other. Emeloi, maybe the halacha is that there the parasha soita doesn't apply. Kamash malon. We learned, however, the Mishnah said, Aidei kol arayis mikhanim chutz min hakotin. Says the Gemara, why? From where we learn that if the accused man is a cotton, the halacha is different. Says the Gemara, because the shochav ish oisa amrachmana v'loy cotton. Ish v'loy cotton. But we have a machlokes rishonim. Who are we talking about? Who is the katan that we're talking about? Tosfos says we're talking about a katan. It's already 9 years old. And the bia, the act of intimacy of a man who's 9 years old, is halachically considered a act of bia. And therefore, the halacha would be if a woman had an relation with a man that with a boy that age, which was a relationship that she's not allowed to have, it was an erva, the halacha is that she would be killed if she did a b'meizah basra. And if she was a bas kohen or married to a kohen, she would become pasul, she would become disqualified from eating truma. But says Tosfos that a boy who's under 9 years old, since he's a boy that is impossible to have bia, it doesn't count. The Rambam disagrees. He says that we specifically need a pasuk for a boy who's below 9 years old. For a boy who's above 9 years old, whose bia is considered an act of bia, the Rambam's opinion is there's no need for us to tell us that the kinui with such a boy or the steer with such a boy is considered. But it's only a boy who's below 9 that even though, says the Rambam, his bia is not a bia, the halacha is that the kinui is not a kinui. There's also another argument amongst the Rishonim. What does the Gemara mean when it says v'loy katan? Doesn't mean that a katan is completely excluded. If the boil was below 9 years old, he's completely excluded from this parasha. That's the way some Rishonim learn. Some Rishonim explain what it means is that if the woman had relations or was accused with a boy below 9 years old, such a person, such case, they won't drink the Mayim Amorim. But that she should be also to her husband, or that she's not entitled to a ksuba, or that she's also to the boil, that would be the case even by a boy that's not 9 years old. Machlokes Rishonim. We learned in the Mishnah, and similarly, somebody who's Eina Ish. What does Eina Ish mean? Ilema Lamuti Shachav, that if the person is a person who's unable to do bia, or even if he does bia, it's a bia that is very not meaningful. As Rashi explains, the word shachav is the same words of shachafes, and he's unable to have an erection. But the Mechas Chinuch points out that even though a person is a shachav, if a person who is a shachav, and the bia that he does, as we're learning now, is a not real, not very significant bia, the halacha is that if we know that a woman had relations with such a man, she becomes usur to a husband. The discussion that we're having in our Gemara is regarding becoming a soita. The issue is not that the bia of a shachif is not considered completely a bia. So ask the Gemara, but how could you say so? That a woman that is accused of having a relation with a shachav, the husband could do kinui. Says the Gemara, pshita. Why not? Ma'adatema, says the Gemara. Ma'adatema, we would say, v'shachav ish oisai shechva zera, amarachmana. V'ha la bar hachihu. This man is not able to have a real shechva zera. Kamash malon, that the shachav, that's what Shmuel comes to teach us, that he is. Upaisva truma, pshita. Why not? As we just said, that even though his bia is maybe a weak bia, but certainly it should disqualify from the truma. Answers the Gemara Madutema. We would say that what type of bia disqualifies a woman from being able to eat truma? A bia that could lead to having children. This lay zera. So somebody who could have children from the spia, l'chalal, the less lezera, but a shochef cannot have beer that could lead to having children, loy l'chalal, kamash malon. So the question is that if so, what does the Mishnah mean when it says, mishayne ish, says the Gemara, ela lamuta evd kachavim. It's coming to exclude an evd kachavim, that he is not the person that the husband could do kinui with. Don't ask the Gemara, how could we say so? V'amar Rav Hamnuna, Oivik Echavim, Mekana Ayodai, Upais Betruma, because his bia is considered a full fledged bia. So why would we think differently? Mekana Ayodai Pshita answered the Gemara Madatema. Since the Torah in the Parsha Saita says Nitma Shtei Pamim, and as we mentioned earlier in our shiur, what we learn from that is Ech Lebal Vechad Lebayil, that the husband may not have relations with this wife until her situation is clarified, nor may she have relations with the boil. So as we learned earlier, Hech the Kamitzra Baznus, a situation where they were anyway allowed to, that this act is what prohibits her. Aval ha, hoyva surva kaima, but the woman who, if the boil is an akum, she could never have married him anyway. Emeloi, maybe this is different. Kamash malon, that the kinui through Oivik Chavim is considered a valid kinui. Upais the truma pshita. Why should the bia of an akum not disqualify her from the truma? Maritime bas koin seelish zor amrak mona. The bar havaya. The pasuk used the word kisiya. And as we're going to learn in Mitzvashem, mesechta kedushin, the word tia is used very often to represent a kedushin. So we would think the bar havaya in, only somebody who is in the parsha, somebody who is in the parsha of kedushin and the suin, the la bar havaya, but somebody, an akum who's not able to marry, according to the halacha, a Jewish woman, loy, should not disqualify with his act of bia a woman from eating truma, kamashmal on the puzzle. Says the Gemara, that from where do we know that Oivik Chavim does indeed disqualify a woman from being able to eat truma? Mid Rabbi Yochanan. Dam Rabbi Yochanan Meshum Rabbi Shmuel, Menayin Oivik Chavim Ve'Evet Shabal Kohenis, Ve'Laviya Bas Yisrael, Shepaslur the disqualifier from eating the truma, Shenemar, Bas Kohen Si'a Amon of Agrusha. Yeshloi Din Amon of Agrusha Ba. The man that his wife becomes Amona when he dies. Her wife becomes a grusha when he divorces her. And therefore, the halacha is that she doesn't go back to her father's home because the pasuk says, we have to read the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Bas koyin ki si almon of grusha v'zera elo v'shava beis avir k'neram melechem avir teichel." So the Torah is teaching us that only a woman who could become an almona, that she was married to a man that she was allowed to be married and her husband passed away, or she was married to a man she was allowed to marry and he divorced her, and her father, she's a Kohenis, and as we've learned and will learn, and doesn't have children from the Yisrael, so then she could go back to her parents' home to eat truma, her father's home to eat truma. But the Akum that doesn't have the parasha Amana Megrusa is not excluded. So we're back to where we started. We said, the Mishnah said the words, Mishena Ish, is not a candidate for Kinui V'Stira. Who does that mean? It doesn't mean an Akum, as we just learned. So who does it mean? There's a very interesting discussion in the Paiskim. We just spoke about Kinui with a Shochef. Kinui with a Shochef is a person who is unable to do Bia. And the question that comes up, and this is unfortunately a question that comes up all too often, you have a man who is not well, and he's certainly a man who's more than a shochef, and he can't have relations, and he needs to have an attendant. There's a female attendant that could care for him, but is there an issue of yichud? Ramesha, in the Shas of Chuvas, Igris Moshe Evan Ezra Chelik Dalid, Simon Samach Hey discusses this question, and he says that a person that is so sick that is impossible for him to be up, he is lenient. A person, however, who is elderly and not well, but he's not to the degree that he's laid up in bed and is impossible to have via, Rav Moshe takes a stricter view. And most Paiskim take a stricter view. And the way to understand this is, as we said earlier in our shir, the way we learn in our shir that Hilchas Yichud and Hilchas Kinui don't necessarily travel together. Whereas here, they are traveling together. And just like we're learning, you could do Kinui with a Shachov, you could do Kinui with a the Yichud with a person like that as well. So we're back to our original question. What do the case of Misha and Ish in our Mishnah come to teach us? El Muti Mai, Amra Papa, Lamuti Behemoth. Come to teach us that there's no Kinui with an animal, the aim Znus Behema. And as I saw Rabbi Chanan explains, it's not that what the Gemara means to say is that the act of having relations with an animal is not considered an act of znus. Of course, says Rabbi Chanan Zatzal, that it's considered an act of znus. What the Gemara means to say is that the Torah, as we're learning our Masechta, taught us a new parasha of Kinu Vestira, and that doesn't apply by an animal. Says the Gemara, where do we learn indeed that that is dalacha d'ksiv? The Torah says, an animal that was given to a zayna as payment for her services, or an animal that was exchanged for a dog, cannot be used for a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. The Tanya, esnan kelev, what about payment that was given for relations with a dog, or mechir zayna, or money that was given, an animal that was obtained by exchanging the money that a zayna was paid, and an animal was bought? What about that? Matarim. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, when it speaks about the esnan zayna and the mechir kelev, ki so'evas Hashem alakecha gam shneihem. Shneihem, these two cases, these two situations cannot be used v'loy arba. We can't add on Esnan Kelev or Mechir Zoyna. So we see that from here that the animal that was used, it doesn't become Osa. Why? Because Ein Znus B'Behema. We spoke, as we did a moment ago, about the Shochef. Vela, Shecha Zera. And we learned from here that we would learn that maybe only someone who could do Shecha Zera could be accused. We learned not like that. Asking my Ella, the Shachav Ish Oisa Shecha Zera Lomeli, Boile, L'chetanya Shecha Zera, Prat L'dover Acher. There's another case where it's not considered a kinui. Asking my, what does that mean? My Dover Acher? Omra, Shesh Prat L'kishkinu Lo Shaloi Kedarko. If the husband warned her, don't have kinui in Stira, and to have Biyish Loi Kedarach, that's not considered a kinui. Omra, Rava, Shaloi Kedarko. Why are you excluding Shloi Kedarka? Doesn't the Torah say Mishkive Isha? And the fact that the Torah uses a Lashon Rabbim, it means both types of kinui. El Amarava, what the pasuk means to say, the Shekina Lo Darach Evarim, where he told her don't have kinui, that where you shouldn't, you'll just be with the man without having bia. Says the Gemara, Amalei Baya. A woman who is close to a man but doesn't have bia, pritzusa ba'almahi, it's a terrible act of immorality, but it's not bia. Or pritzusa mi'asa rachmana, that's not what the Torah said, it's considered a bia. Ela amabaya, brat l'shikina l'abanashika. We warned her that the aver, the private parts, should not touch. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara. The definition of arah is penetration. Aval nishika, just being close, v'laf klumhu. So that's what the pasuk is telling us, that that is not a case of kinui. Hanidosakrala mutu nishika. However, ask the Gemara, elamanda maharah zu nishika, and that's considered an act of znus. So how can we say that that's what the pasuk is excluding? Ma'ikal meima, answers the Gemara. The Gemara goes back to what it said previously, that he did warn her that they should not come close to each other. We learned that it may be a terrible thing to do, but that's not what the Torah meant when it speaks about Isser Saita. This is Saita, is that what is considered an act of Bia. And Derech Evarim is not an act of Bia. So why would I need a pasuk to tell us that that's not a kinui? Answer the Gemara Matatayim B'Kbeid, the Baal Talya Rechmana. The woman becomes a Saita based on what bothers the husband. Or Baal Hakakopit. And the husband's upset if the wife is in a relationship with another man, even if they didn't actually have Bia, Kamash Malan, that the Torah to make a woman into a Saita is, it has to be an act of Bia. And if it's not an act of Bia, that's not what the Torah spoke about. And as I saw, Rabbi Chanan explains, we would think that what is the determining factor in a woman becoming a Saita or not becoming a Saita is if she becomes a Zayna. And maybe a woman who's acting in such a manner with another man is considered a Zayna. Teaches us the Gemara that, of course, it's inappropriate to act this way, but you don't become a Zayna from acting this way. But it's not a Zayna that is the determining factor. What the determining factor is Bia, and Derech Evarim is not considered a Bia, and therefore Kinui of Derech Evarim is not considered a valid Kinui.